Good afternoon. Today is February the 12th, Lincoln's birthday. Somebody had to say it. It's Lincoln's birthday. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau, the media marketing manager, Richard Singer. Hey, guy.
Hi, Brian. Good to see you.
You're wearing a sweater.
I am.
Is it cold outside?
It's cotton sweater, so it's not, okay. You know, it's more for show.
There you go. Seasonal dress abounds. This afternoon, we'll do a little bit of catch-up, a bunch of different things that are going on as far as our area being discovered by the media yet again. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on and some of the things that might be going on when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. Today is... I already did that part, didn't I? Hi. It's 3:12. We're back with Richard. Our quote of the day this afternoon comes from Snoopy.
Nice.
You ready? Okay. Dear sweetheart, last night I thought of you. At least I think it was you.
Is that Snoopy the Peanuts dog or
yes.
Snoop Doggy Dog?
No. This is Snoopy. Oh, that would be called media marketing.
Yes.
Management.
Yes. Well, because one of the Snoops likes to come to Humboldt County to put on shows and other things.
Every once, walk off with certain things or walk away with certain things, yeah. How do you manage an image?
A lot of smoke, a lot of mirrors.
You don't want to say smoke in Humboldt County because you know that's where I'm headed.
A carnival barker's horn.
Because people have their own impressions, and they have their own idiosyncrasies, and they have their own predilections. Let's say if you want to have a theme, or you're trying to focus on trees, or you're focusing on, let's say the rural nature of the area. How do you keep people's focus or the media's focus on what you're trying to accomplish rather than what they might be intrigued by, let's say if it's the elk or a fern or that kind of stuff? I mean, how do you see them to get their attention in the right direction?
Well, if people come up here and like the elk or like the fern, we will encourage that, and we'll be flexible and say you can hug as many ferns and elk as you'd like. As far as staying on message, I'd say one way to answer that is quantity, and that is just hammer away your message over and over again through different medium. Let me give you an analogy, and that is sometimes our members get a negative review on TripAdvisor or Yelp if it's a restaurant, and they understandably get upset and want to know what the best way to handle that is. Well, except in rare instances when it's definitely libel or something.
I thought you were going to say when it's true.
where they can get it removed. The best defense is a lot more offense, and that is just flooding it with more positive reviews.
Diluted.
Yes. And frankly, research has shown that if people only get positive reviews and there are no negative reviews, the people reading it actually give less credence to that type of review format because they think, well, this isn't legitimate.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't want to be too perfect. Well, the same with our basic overall message, and that is if we can just craft specific messages, whether it be about the Redwoods or Humboldt Bay, and just repeat it over and over and over again in different formats, whether that mean newspaper ads, online ads, media placements by getting journalists to come up and visit a particular place related to those themes, free giveaways, and things like that. As long as you keep going at people from different angles over and over again, eventually they'll buy your message.
Yeah, then just becomes, I suppose, make sure your target is valuable enough to keep the effort at.
Yes. Well, as you know, being in the media business, half of all advertising is effective. The question is trying to figure out which half that is.
Yeah, day by day. The scenario is playing out at Big Bear right now with the cop that went crazy.
Yes.
You can say postal, but that doesn't make sense anymore. What would you do if you were same position for Big Bear? Okay, so you've got all this national media attention going on. Lead story all over the place. Not necessarily the best thing in the world. I don't think you'd want to lead with, even the crazies know how great it is to be in Big Bear.
No, there is such a thing as poor advertising strategy. I think that would be
that would qualify.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you do? Is that an opportunity? You know, Obama claims any crisis, right? Axelrod and his folks. I would suggest something like that would be really difficult to handle.
Well, I think you're right insofar as you never want to connect a tragic message immediately with a travel marketing message. That's just a no-no, period, for self-evident reasons. But I think there can be value. I don't want to sound cynical here, but there can be value in crafting a message about a place well after the fact, after the tragic value has declined. One example would be New York after 9/11. Certainly for years, that city has felt the pain, as has the whole nation. You know, we lost our two front teeth, so to speak.
Right, right.
But now as I understand it, New York is really raging back, doing very well. And people want to go there and in some ways pay homage to what happened. And Ground Zero has become sort of a destination. Now, Big Bear, for example, a much smaller, different scale. I don't know how to work that one individually, tactically, but as you know, Big Bear does have nice places and attractions.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that backdrop is still in people's mind, then in some ways, maybe that backdrop can be positive. Another little micro example this week is the passing of the world's largest crocodile in captivity. 25 plus feet, a ton in weight. More later.
Come see the stuffed critter.
Are we?
Yeah, we're gone. Okay. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Richard Stenger. Man, you hit me with... Okay. The English claymation movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something Gromit is the related movie. And there's the chicken one.
Yeah, we got both of them. We were talking about movies that we like to see. I like the animated or nearly animated for vast majority of them. A little bit of action every once in a while, but that's it.
Chicken Run.
Yeah.
Chicken Run. Thank you.
Wallace and Gromit.
Well, speaking of all that... And off air, we were talking about...
Bring this one together, baby.
Yeah, I'll do it. Watch this. I'll try. Give me some duct tape. We're talking about how this year we were looking for, you know, really focusing on the Bay. As I mean, the Redwoods are our bread and butter, so we always focus on that first as far as marketing. It's a world-known destination. But Humboldt Bay, this year in particular, for a variety of reasons, we're looking to market. And wouldn't it be great if somehow we could tie in an Humboldt State alum, marine biology degree, SpongeBob SquarePants creator, went to HSU, as you know.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if we could have a festival, a mascot,
festival?
Or a giant aquarium with SpongeBob animals in it?
It sounds like the Discovery Museum.
What do you think? You think we can do this?
And make it a tourist event?
Yeah, everybody loves SpongeBob. He's bigger than Hello Kitty almost.
Yeah, but how far out of the way would you go for it?
We get so much traffic heading north and south on 101,
right.
doing the stops. Why not have one more mega stop like that?
So you're not thinking of a weekend event kind of a thing, or a week long event?
I'm thinking of an attraction.
Or are you thinking of building an aquarium like Monterey and San Francisco and some of the others?
Maybe a little bit like
that.
But
you're looking than Telonica, though.
Have you seen the upgrade up there? They really spruced it up.
Yeah, it looks pretty sharp.
I couldn't find the octopus when I was up there, though.
Oh, we found one on the beach.
How was
parts of it?
Mm. But Humboldt Bay, in a non-cartoon sense, oysters are really, as you know, a growing industry. There's growing demand, and there's growing awareness of people wanting to be aware of where their food actually is from. They like to having food experiences, farm-to-food experiences. And with the closing of one of the major oyster farms in Marin County, it was pretty big. I think it provided like a third of the oysters for San Francisco. That leaves a huge gap. And one of the places that gap will presumably be taken care of is Humboldt Bay, since we're the largest originator of oysters in the state.
Why are they close?
It is around the National Seashore, and the feds have been threatening to close them down for years, and they did. They didn't renew their lease, and they're not going to.
Jerks. Okay. So it's kind of like BLM in the state. Every time I drive through Oreck, which is pretty regularly, the spit there. BLM has it. You know, it used to be three deep on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and now nobody's on the beach.
Oh, the lagoon?
Yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah,
right.
Same. Yeah. I don't know. It seems to be frustrating, and yet at the same time, the public demand seems to be wanting more and more of it. So you got this dichotomy that's going on. Can Humboldt County capture the momentum of people wanting the food experience?
Well, we have there's another marketing group in Humboldt who has a very similar mission of ours, Humboldt Made, which is run through the County Economic Office. And they've done a pretty good job of presenting Humboldt Foods as an experience. And I do think we're sort of working towards that overall as a destination, but one thing that might really help this year is this spring, a Eureka Arcata-based outfit is planning to start oyster tours in the Bay. How this would work is you go to the Old Town Eureka, get in Captain Sebastian's boat, go to his oyster beds, which is Aqua Rodeo around low tide, walk on the flats, grab some oysters, have some fun. Maybe you eat them right there if you can't wait. Otherwise, you get back in the boat, eat them at a nice spit, or go back to the city. The Carter House has agreed to cook them up for you if you'd like. And they might also be able to cook them for you in another Eureka location as well.
I have a couple different restaurants are looking at doing it.
Yeah, and there are a few places in Marin County or Sonoma County, around Tomales Bay, that's Marin, I suppose, that have done a good job of marketing oysters as a retail experience. I mean, you go enjoy the oysters there on location, and that's actually a great form of advertising, because you'll go later and you'll buy these oysters, the same oysters, if you see them at a store. You're like, oh, I remember that.
certainly the population base is significantly different down.
Yes.
Down there. Is this something that's a tourist, or is this another something for locals to do? Do you sense that people will come this far for that kind of an experience, 250, 300 miles?
Maybe not specifically for this, but it's another piece of the puzzle, another thing to do while you're here. And it, if we can really distinguish our oysters from other oysters due to, among other things, the cleanliness of our bay, you know, that'll help a whole lot, I think.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
This is Fred Van Vleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back talking shop this afternoon with the media marketing manager for the County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Richard Stanger. Richard, some of the different challenges that are out there, you talked about the Bay, Humboldt Bay being a focal point, an additional focal point this year, in addition to the trees. How much can the message be fine-tuned? Or deviate from redwood, redwood, redwood. What's your favorite tree? Redwood. How far can you get off that message before you lose the momentum? Somebody else can slide in on the backside, and you're spending a lot of time and effort trying to generate and get back to that spot with some other theme.
Well, we consider that only a hypothetical question, Brian, because we never want to leave ourselves open to that. I mean, we're talking about Humboldt Bay as a possible, you know, as a marketing thing this year, we're always doubling down on redwoods. For example, right now on Google Ads, we're going after our redwood competitors. We haven't really done that before. In other words, like Muir Woods and some of the other redwood parks in the Bay Area, some of the more popular ones like around Big Sur and Santa Cruz, we are targeting people looking for those parks and letting them know if they want to see the real McCoy, come up here.
So you're trying to kneecap Muir Woods?
Yes. And so, I mean,
how can you do that? I mean, not ethically, how can you do it? But I mean, how can you do that? Because I would think that John Muir has a pretty good momentum going as an icon. How can you switch pitch that for Humboldt Redwoods or Redwood National Park?
Well, we consider like Muir Woods Muir Woods, as we like to call it, sort of a sample. And we say, once you're done with the appetizer, come up here for the main course. So it is a delicate thing to do. But another thing, I mean, obviously, because our trees are a lot bigger, we have a lot more. Their trees are spindly and tiny and small. We don't use the word.
Not to cast nasturtiums anyway. Yeah.
And also, that place is packed solid with people. And of course, it's very convenient to get there from the Bay Area, from San Francisco. So that's a real challenge for us to market against that. But on the other hand, you know, you market the strength of our experience. And really, to get to Muir Woods, it's a lot harder. It takes a lot more time than you think from San Francisco to actually get in the park, because there's some pretty meandering roads back there in Marin County.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have a vehicle of any significance, it's tough. Some of those roads are really, I mean, they're not built for vehicles of today.
One thing we need to remind people is you can get from the bridge to the Avenue of the Giants in under 4 hours.
Legally.
Okay. Yes. And that makes it a little more accessible. I mean, we have to get on Wiki Travel today and correct people who are putting 5 and 6 hours. We like to go in there and put in marketing hours. They're a little bit shorter.
You guys have any thoughts about the airplanes? I guess there's a couple of different ones, a couple of different airlines that are looking at possibly coming in. I don't know if Was that this week, next week, whenever the announcement was going to be made? Is that something that, do you see that will change the landscape here much, or is that just kind of a nice little nuance?
We are always monitoring what's going on at the airport. We talk with the staff there regularly, and we encouraged and also gave some official support to the SBDC, which has recommended the name change to a more marketing-friendly destination-sounding name, something like the California Redwoods Regional Airport or something like that.
Not the Michael Kraft Airport.
No.
Okay. Clear that one up right now.
SBDC and REDAC, too. REDAC has been working on that very strongly. But I think, of course, it does help. I mean, I think a lot of people see this as a bottleneck, not just for tourists, but for business, for white-collar jobs, for businesses. I used to work at Humboldt Merchant Services when they had accounts all over the country and even outside the country. That was a huge bottleneck for them, was having to fly in and out of ACV. Not enough flights. They needed tons of flights to meet with their customers. So it's not just helping. It's not just helping tourism, but it helps the local economy in general.
Right, but as a choke off point, so having that opened up, let's say with a couple, say another 100, 150 more chairs a day flying in, is that enough to start to see a ripple?
You know, I don't know. I don't know enough about the economies of scale there, but it couldn't hurt. And just having a flight in help, it really improves your visibility in airline magazines. We get a lot of good coverage because from airline magazines, they like the Redwoods, they like our Redwoods. But sometimes they have a little hesitancy to write about it because if it's, say, United, well, United, we get good in because there's a United carrier up here. But some of the other airlines, if they fly only into the Bay Area, you got to factor in that drive.
Yeah, they don't see other opportunities to get here. Like flying on Brand X. Well, you know, maybe we get Richard Branson. Maybe one of his space shots can land here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure, betcha. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. The Crocodile Story, when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon, blah, 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 with Richard Stenger. Okay, you teased us in the first segment about this crocodile, this massive crocodile that died.
Yes.
That it was a tourist event somehow.
There's a small village in the Philippines that is mourning the loss of the world's largest crocodile in captivity. It was over, I believe, 25 feet, over a ton in weight. And there's a picture of the mayor and the whole village hugging it after its passing.
They good timing on that one.
They caught it between a year and 2 years ago, and realized they had a huge tourist attraction on their hands. They started building roads to get to the village, a museum, a park for the crocodile, which had been linked to it. Probably had eaten several villagers at some point over its 50-year lifespan. But now the poor thing is gone. They still love it, and they're going to stuff it and put it on display. All in the hope of drawing tourists. And here's an example of what we were talking about earlier, of taking a tragic situation and eventually turning it into a marketing plus. For better or for worse, I'm just telling you the facts.
Recognizing an opportunity, yeah. I don't know if a crocodile dying is that tragic to me. Yeah, unless we look at the opportunity for how many boots could that baby have made.
No, oh, yeah.
Now we're there.
Well,
do we have, Richard, do you think we have the individuals here, the mindset here, the perspective here to recognize an opportunity? Not a dead crocodile. We're never going to have a dead crocodile. But to do things. We had the whale there at the Klamath Bridge for what?
Mm-hmm.
4 months? 5 months?
Not that long.
Okay.
But more than a month. It seemed like an eternity.
Yeah, yeah. There were stupid people there all the time. But it seemed to me like that would be a chance to get people from the valley. Quick lightning strike, boom. And then you're gone. You know, when the whale goes bye-bye, so obviously does everything else. But quick little opportunities, recognition, so that people know that there are things going on here. Is that more prudent, or is it, here's where we are, big picture, come and see the trees. The trees are always here. When you want us, we're here.
I would vote A with big picture. But the little picture is something we always look out for. We are always scanning the horizon for that, because novelty is something that grabs people's attention, and that would be a prime example. If anyone catches Bigfoot here in Humboldt, a live one, I'll tell you what, we're going to be the first ones to tell the world.
So we can then have a wrestling match, right, between Bigfoot and the dead crocodile?
Well, if that'll help, we'll arrange it.
Yeah, or elk rodeo. That could work, too.
There is right now a kind of division, not division, but a changing of the guard between the traditional Humboldt County tourist folks and the younger crowd, and that is something which has caused a lot of discussion. Let me give you an example. The Bigfoot days in Willow Creek, the people running that, they're all retiring and passing on. And will someone step up to help that event and help that town's persona live on? There's a young guy that runs Bigfoot Books right outside of town. He's someone that's helping carry the torch. Here in Eureka, we have a younger generation with a lot of new ideas and creative ideas, like John O'Connor at North Coast Adventure Center, who runs the Canopy Tours in Arcata. And he's helping organize the oyster tours in Humboldt Bay, that are trying to stay ahead of the curve. And that's something that we're very aware of is going to be necessary for Humboldt's tourism industry to survive, not just the next 5 or 10 years, but the next 20 years.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to show them a working mill, too, sometime in the future.
That'd be kind living of history is great. Yeah.
Or just viable businesses, sorry.
An actual mill. Well, yeah. A viable industry in the United States could be living history pretty soon.
There you go. There
manufacturing. You
go. Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop with Richard Stanger. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.